first, I'd like to say Ramadan Kareem. I know it's the middle of the month, but we didn't get a chance to see one another before this, so Ramadan Kareem, inshallah. It's also the birthday. We want to celebrate the anniversary of the birth of Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, so I offer you my congratulations on this wonderful event. Inshallah, we're able to be capable followers of that wonderful Imam. There's a sad thing that we hear now also, and that is that one of our leaders, Sheikh Isa Qasim, unfortunately, they have stripped him of his citizenship. This may be the first step for him to execute him. We want to make sure we raise our voices, we spread awareness, we do our part, so we don't sit silently while one of our leaders is killed. So God knows what's going to happen with this. We pray that Allah gives guidance to the believers and that something terrible and that they can't undo doesn't happen. The month of Ramadan, what we learn from our books of history is that it is also a month in which several battles happened. So it's not only a month of worship, of ibadah, but it's also a month where at least three of our battles took place. The Battle of Badr, the Battle of Hunain, and the conquest of Mecca happened in this month. So for us as believers, in addition to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our personal lives, we also use this month as a month where we are going to connect with the 12th Imam, that struggle, and we see ourselves involved in that. One of our Badr, Battle of Badr for us, will be on the Day of Quds. Inshallah, brothers and sisters will be there for that day, and they will raise their voices, and they will share their thoughts on the oppression of those human beings over there. In addition to that, another struggle is one that we're currently faced with right now. Unfortunately, those events in Orlando created a lot of hysteria. And we saw a lot of stances being taken by believers that were actually incorrect stances. Some lessons for us to learn. One of those lessons is the idea when we get information, first we want to do research. I want to share a verse of Quran with you, but this is something that we can either, because what we're doing in these discussions is that we also have a responsibility of talking to non-Muslims. Not only other believers, our own brothers and sisters, but also non-Muslims. What it is that Islam says, and we're going to have to cover some of those points in a bit of detail to make sure that it's absolutely clear for us. But one point, one reminder for us, is that verse of the Holy Quran where Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا. If a fasiq comes to you with information, do research. Don't immediately take a stance. Don't immediately think that this is the right thing to do. Surah 49, verse number 6. Now, in this case, you know that the details of the case have been coming out, and there's contradictions. I don't want brothers and sisters, when we take our stance, that we go down the route of saying that it's a false flag operation. There's so many inconsistencies, so many things, it's just hard to believe it. How can anybody really believe corporate media after 9/11? But our stance needs to be something that's unshakable. So let's go based on the official narrative. Although there are a lot of questions, let's go based on the official narrative. What does become clear and what has become clear is that the enemies of Islam and humanity have an agenda. There's something that they're pushing and there's certain results that they're trying to get from this event. Right now, what's necessary for believers, brothers and sisters, is going to be to take a stance. Imam Ali tells us in the hadith, he says, the person who's silent, a socket, he says, akhurrathi, the person who's silent is a brother of the person who's pleased. And the Imam continues in the hadith, he says, those who aren't with us are actually against us. This for us, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to talk about what happened and what our stance is. We'll understand that this for us is khusayr. This is something we can't back down on. This is a strategic point where either we take the right side or the wrong side. Our stance is, you and I, brothers and sisters, individually and collectively, our stances can even either hasten the reappearance of the living Imam, or God forbid, nastajiru billah, because of our stances, we delay the cause of the Imam. So it's not a time for us to remain silent. Yes, in the beginning, we have those ahadith from Ahlul Bayt, they say, in the time of fitna, be like the baby camel, not a back to ride, nor do you give milk. in the time of fitna, once it becomes clear what they're doing, then no, then you stand. Then you say what it is that Islam says. So what we want to do is go over what our stance should be. What do the enemies want? What our stance should be. There's a verse where Allah gives the Prophet strategic advice, something for all of us to keep in mind. This verse is Surah 25, verse number 52, where God says this, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. He says, do not obey the kuffar. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Don't obey them. Then he continues, he says, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. He says, by not obeying them, wage a great jihad against them. Not by not obeying. What is it that they want? Why is it so important? Why is this Qusair? Why is this one of their red lines? Why is it one of our red lines? But not obeying. Question, how do we not obey them? One of the areas of not obeying is our aqa'id, our aqidah, our beliefs. And the other one is going to be in our actions. Wajibat, muharramat. We cannot obey. We only obey Allah. So, now, what happens? Brothers and sisters, this is not by any means, although we might feel that the way the media is playing this story, this is a loss for the believers. If we look at it, and if we do our job properly, this event, although we do not agree with it at all, it put us in the spotlight. It's another opportunity for us to share the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. Sharing the teachings of Quran and Sunnah to people who are interested to hear what you have to know now before the Imam arrives, that's the opportunity. So instead of us running away from it, panicking, what is our responsibility? So we obviously know that it was a gay bar that was attacked. Right? Us, our children, and now we have to talk to our children. Who are homosexuals? What is Islam's stance on sexuality? What happened? What was wrong? Right? It's not one of those times now, everybody, it's in the news, people are hearing. What is our stance? What do we say? So one of them is that from an Islamic point of view, we say this with full confidence, without apologizing, without backing down. From an Islamic point of view, it is not lawful for someone to go into a gay bar and shoot them up. That's not lawful. Meaning if you ask a marja, can somebody go over and go into the bar and shoot them up? No, that's not lawful according to Islam, without apologies. We're not changing. We're not nothing different. Islam doesn't allow that. What else? Even when it comes to the Islamic penal code, the hudud, which is what a lot of the debate's going to be about, the hudud that are there in Islam if somebody does those terrible acts, also we'll say that every Muslim doesn't have the right to just go over and carry out the hudud. If you're not a qadi, if it's not proven in court, we can't just go over, I'm a Muslim, I'm over here, I will carry out the hudud without permission from the marja. Is it lawful? Anybody, I see somebody, they did something, can I carry out the hudud? No. So not shooting them up, not the hudud. Now, then, and this is also clear, we have a track record. We've been listening, when you are talking to others, not Muslims, we have a track record. We've been living in these communities as minorities for how many years? Have we been shooting people up? Have we been going into these bars and shooting people? Have we been carrying out the hudud? No. Has any faqih, any jurist told us to do that? No. Are we going to apologize for that? No. That's, Islam doesn't give us that permission. Now, the other one is, this is now the one that we have to make sure we get right and make sure our next generations get this right. What is our stance on sexuality in general? As you know, these things are being taught from the age of 8. In Canada, I just came from Canada, the sex ed starts from kindergarten. Starts from kindergarten, okay? So what is our stance? Very clearly, brothers and sisters, when you're speaking to your children, you can explain to them that the only lawful relationship between a man is between a man and a woman and with their lawful partners in Islam. Anything other than that is transgression. I'm going to share ayat of the Quran. We won't get confused, human rights. Anything other than that is transgression. Let me read you the verse of the Quran. Actually, there's twice in the Holy Quran Allah uses these words. Islam is different than even Christianity or the teachings, not say what came with Isa alayhi salam, but the teachings of St. Augustine, right? We don't believe that sex, for instance, is a bad thing in Islam. That it's, no. Actually, Allah put the desire for men and women in one another. Allah put that there. What does the verse says? It says, when it's with the lawful partner, God says, فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. They're not to be blameworthy. It's not wrong within the context, but outside of that, outside of what Islam has declared lawful, فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Outside of that is transgression. Outside of that is transgression. So no matter what the state says, prostitution in Islam is not lawful. Incest in Islam is not lawful. Necrophilia in Islam is not lawful. Bestiality in Islam is not lawful. Lesbianism in Islam is not lawful. And homosexuality in Islam is not lawful. We want to make sure we get this absolutely clear. These things are not lawful in Islam. It's not only the act of homosexuality, because that's, if you look at where the main attack is right now, it's on homosexuality. We'll concentrate on that a bit more and on the Islamic punishment for that. So we'll get to that also. But that's not the only thing that's forbidden in Islam. We have to also make this absolutely clear. A man looking at a man with lust in Islam is not lawful. A man kissing a man with lust in Islam is forbidden. A man touching a man in Islam, that's right. And then also, yes, because they will ask. The thing is, people want to run and hide. If a non-Muslim Googles in Islam what our stance is, it's going to come up. Why should I hide? If a non-Muslim does research, if there was a non-Muslim who was a faqih, and he goes to the Islamic sources and does research, what is he going to come up with? Yes, if that final line, a man copulates with a man, then yes. And there's witnesses, according to all of those the rules that are in our books of jurisprudence, then yes, the punishment in Islam, in an Islamic state, where the people have chosen Islam, yes, the punishment is death. Now, the next thing that we have to do is we're going to have to ask a fundamental question to the consciousness of mankind. This is why it's so important for us. This is why I'm saying it's qusair for us. There's a fundamental question that you, brothers and sisters, need to ask to mankind. Shia, Sunni, non-Muslim, atheist, right? A fundamental question that we want to ask to mankind. The question is this: what does it mean to be a muwahhid? What does it mean to say God is one? Inshallah, and if Allah gives tawfiq in other speeches, I want to talk a little bit more about that concept. But what does this mean? Question. Because you know this law on homosexuality, and we're talking about that actual act, the actual act. That is there in the Bible. That's there in the Old Testament. So it's Jewish law, Christian law. Okay, 20, 30 years ago, they decided that that's not okay. Our question that we want to ask mankind is this: if God's law becomes unpopular, the majority of people, they don't like God's law, for whatever reason, the people become homosexuals, for instance, majority, does God's law change? Can we change Allah's law? The question that we want to ask mankind is that. People don't like it. They think it's outdated. Can you change the law of God? Is that lawful? There's a verse that I'd like to share with you. Surah 9, later if you want to look this up yourself. Surah 9 and verse number 31. God is talking about the people of the previous books. Brothers and sisters, I want you, brothers and sisters, who are bearing in mind that the Imam is waiting for you and he's watching. He's watching. What happened to the people of the previous books? What was their mistake? Where did they go wrong? Will we slip and slide? The verse is this: اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took their monks, their scholars, as lords. Arbab, Rab, Arbab. They took them as lords instead of Allah. There was a new Muslim. He came to the presence of the Holy Prophet. He had come from a Christian background, Adi. He comes over to the Holy Prophet and he says that, he quotes this verse, Ya Rasulullah, ittakhadhu ahbara. He quotes this verse to the Holy Prophet. He says, Wallah, they didn't do ibadah. I was Christian. We didn't do ibadah. We didn't prostrate before these people. We didn't do ibadah. What's, like, the Quran's true, but I'm a new Muslim. What is it that you're saying? So the Prophet asked the question, أَلَيْسَ إِذَا كَانُوا أَحَلُّ لَهُمْ شَيْئًا إِسْتَحَلُّ. He said, when they're monks, they're priests, they're religious scholars, what can we say from the mimbar? What can our scholars say from the mimbar? He says that if they would make something lawful, something that had been forbidden, lawful, the people would consider it halal. If they would make something, he continues in the same hadith, he says, if they would forbid something, Allah said it's lawful, they would forbid it. Would the people consider it haram? He said, bala, yeah, that happened. He said, fatilka ibadatuhum. That was worship. What does it mean to be a muwahhid? Can I change God's law? Am I a muwahhid? So the question that we want to ask mankind, or the answer that we want to give them, is that if the question is this, that now, like the people we've discovered, we've come to a conclusion, these laws are outdated, you also come to that same conclusion. We're muwahideen. We only believe in one God. So that's our answer to the first question. The next question, brothers and sisters, right now there is real fear in the community. You'd be surprised. Some people are afraid of the LGBT community. People are afraid of taking a stance. You've seen what happened, how for Sheikh Farooq, they ended up canceling his visa. What happens if the rest of you don't, when people ask you what your position is, if you don't take it, if you run and hide? People are afraid. Especially people are afraid when there's so much pressure in the media. People are worried, is Trump gonna come into power? People are worried. There are Muslims who are really worried. How should the believer, male and female, who are waiting for the 12th Imam be? What should the state of their heart be in a situation where the media is against them, where they've been demonized? In Australia, they would send the media outside of the masjid that Sheikh Farooq was in, the pressure of that those mu'mineen were under over there. The verse now of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, we have to dig a little deeper. 33:22. This verse is revealed about Surah Ahzab, about the Battle of Ahzab. Remember that battle when all of the mushrikeen gathered, the largest army Arabia had ever seen? What happened then? This is what the mu'mineen were like. وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. When the believers saw the Ahzab, they saw all of those army gathered outside. قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. They said, this is what Allah and His Messenger have promised us. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Allah told the truth. His Messenger told the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. This only increased them in faith. The going got tough. They didn't get intimidated. Brothers and sisters, Islamophobia is generated by the 1%. Islam is not, it's not the case that the people of the world want nothing to do with Islam. If we back down, if we get terrified and intimidated, that's something else. So, we don't need to be afraid. Something else I'd like to address. The Muslim community as a community has been conditioned that whenever a deranged person who has nothing to do with Islam and Islamic teachings, he carries a Muslim name, then the whole community feels a responsibility to collectively apologize. They've conditioned us. Do you guys remember the event in Charleston? I don't know how many of you remember that. The guy with white supremacists went in and shot up. Remember that? Did you see other Christians or white Caucasians, for instance, going over and apologizing, saying that we all apologize for this? Have Christians come over to you? How many drone strikes in the Obama administration? How many drone strikes have there been? Extrajudicial killings. How many families destroyed on their weddings? Have Christians come over to you as a community and just said, oh, I see you're a Muslim. I just want to apologize to you on behalf of all Christianity. In London, you guys, I don't know if you guys must have seen in the news, some deranged person goes over, they kill a prime minister, one of the prime minister, one of these MPs. But the whole, they say he has mental issues, he's bad, right? But how come a Muslim can't do that? What? Collectively going over, issuing statement after statement. The question is this, why weakness in the mu'mineen? Why are we allowing them to condition us in this way? I remember here looking at one of these memes that they put. They said they had this guy and he was asked a question. He said, how do you feel about 9/11, knowing that the hijackers shared your religion? He said, how do you feel about Hitler sharing yours? If we want to get real about this issue, according to the official narrative, it's ISIS. If we're taking the official narrative, we're not going down the conspiracy theory, it's ISIS. What happened? He self-radicalized. Question, is the internet free or is the internet controlled? Question, our brothers, we don't consider Hezbollah to be a terrorist organization. Our brothers, some of our brothers, made a book. It just had the flag of Hezbollah on it. They took the book down. How come ISIS is allowed to propagate? Who created the internet? The US military. They can't control ISIS? Why are they allowing them to freely go over and to propagate hate? Who suffered more, us Muslims or them? More than that, the same way that Bahrain, which stripped the citizenship from Ayatollah Isa Qasim, is a US ally. Qatar is a US ally. Saudi Arabia is a US ally. Turkey is a US. They can't stop them from training ISIS and Al Qaeda and Jamaat al-Nusra. If it's ISIS, it's you, not us. Why didn't you stop them? So apologizing in this way, that. Now, the other thing that I want brothers and sisters to be careful about is the idea of solidarity. That's another one. Do you guys remember Jeb Bush back in the day after 9/11? Do you remember the tough stances he used to take? Either you're with the terrorist or you're with us. I remember listening to Ayatollah Khamenei's response, Allah protect him. He said, we're not with the terrorist and we're not with you. For us also over here, we're not with the killer. We're not with them either. We disagree. Part of being in one of these societies, if we will allow ourselves to believe that we belong in these countries, is that you have the right to disagree. So there's a question. Should we support the gay community because they're a minority and we're a minority? It's a tactical strategy. I have another question for you. And I'm sharing with these things with you so you can share them with other people. I just came from Toronto. When I was in Toronto, then they legalized grocery stores to be able to sell alcohol. Grocery stores. Be able to sell alcohol. If there was a grocery store that was mazloom, they wouldn't give it permission to sell alcohol. It's mazloom. Would you, as a Muslim, you gather outside, have candlelight vigils, be standing, you with your hijabs, mu'mineen, mu'minat, hold it? Or would you have a principled stance on this issue? You don't agree with alcohol. You don't agree with homosexuality. More than that, brothers and sisters, if anybody takes a stance and the end result is that mu'mineen and mu'minat or others lose their way and fall into this trap, people are slipping and sliding. People are teetering right on the edge. This agenda is being promoted aggressively and they're going for the jugular. If because of me as a Muslim, because of my stance, right, and if a Muslim, God forbid, up until now hasn't taken the right stance, then there's no need to be stubborn. We're trying to do it, we're mistaken, we need to correct that. But no stance, otherwise, if it's really solidarity, I have to share a scary hadith. This is from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, الراضي بفعل قوم. The person who is pleased with the action of a people, كداخل فيه معهم, is like the person who did it. If it's real solidarity. If you're pleased with that action, rainbow hijabs. Be careful. You need to be very careful. We cannot at all slide on this issue. The Imam tells us that it's your heart, rida and sakhat, right? Anger and pleasure that makes us be united with people. I'll give you a story. Why is it so important that our hearts not be inclined? The Imam is coming back from one of the battles, the Battle of Jama. His companions, he's victorious. One of the mu'mineen comes over to the Imam, he says, I wish my brother was here to witness your victory, how Allah granted you victory over your enemies. The Imam asks a very important question. He said, did your brother love us? His heart was with us? He said, yes. He said that not only is he here, there's men and women who haven't been born yet. Iman will be strengthened through these people. Our hearts, if I was there in Khandaq, where would I be? If I was there in Badr, where would I be? Very important, brothers and sisters. We want to make sure that we don't do anything like that. Brothers and sisters, I hope, because this is going to be the part that's a little bit scary. Will we, brothers and sisters, start to self-censor? Some people are so afraid, they may, in their home, stop teaching the story of Lut in the Quran. Whereas the story of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's not only in Quran, that's also in the Bible. The punishment for that final act, not only in Quran, also in the Bible. Will Muslims start to tell their children in the homes, don't say anything, don't disagree? That's the part that's dangerous for us, brothers and sisters. So if we start to self-censor, it will definitely be a disaster. The last point is this. Apologizing for the Islamic laws. Not only for us also to say that it's outdated or to be intimidated or to apologize, or what happened with Sheikh Farouk, throw Sheikh Farouk under the bus. Brothers and sisters, if you are on this path for the Imam to return, expect people to mock you. Expect people to say things about you. God talks about, we have a hadith that talk about the people who will, inshallah, be those companions of the Imam. One of the things that we find in the hadith about these companions of the Imam. What are these people going to be like? So the verse wasn't revealed about them, but the Ahlul Bayt tell us that the companions of the Imam will have these traits. So Surah Ma'idah, verse number 54. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, من يرتد منكم عن دينه, whoever of you abandons his religion, فسوف يأتي الله بقوم, Allah will bring about a people. What will these people be like? يحبهم ويحبونا, Allah loves them, they love Allah. عذلة على المؤمنين, humble before the believers. عزة على الكافرين, when it comes to the enemies of Islam, these individuals are mighty. يجاهدون في سبيل الله. Last part, very important. ولا يخافون لومة لائم. When people come over and they say things about them, for taking the right stances, to try to get them apologize, these Muslims aren't apologetic. If the question is this, if it finally boils down to this, will you, as a believer, apologize for the hudud that are there in Islam? What we will explain is this, what we learned in Karbala, what Imam Hussein said. He says that the da'i, the son of the da'i, wanted me to choose either war or humiliation. وَهَيْهَاتْ مِنَّ الثِّلَّةِ. There is no apologies, brothers and sisters, when it comes to Islam. The opposite is true. This is now from Imam Ali. He says, لا تعتذر من أمر أطعت الله فيه. Never apologize for something when you obeyed Allah. He says, فَكَفَىٰ بِذَلِكَ مَنْقَبَىٰ. That is efficient for you as an honor. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, to forgive all of us, to accept what was said and heard in his way, to make mu'mineen and mu'minat able to stand with the imam and with the cause, that he protect all mu'mineen and mu'minat. There's so much struggle going on all around the world. What's happening in Iraq? What's happening in Syria? What's happening in Bahrain? What's happening all over the world? We remember our mu'mineen and mu'minat, brothers, muslimin, muslimat. We also ask that Allah protect our maraja and especially the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah.